Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Up Your Brave show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on Reality Check Radio. I am so honored today to be talking to the amazing Tracy Slepcevic. We're talking about healing autism. She is the creator of an amazing conference and author, and we're going all the way today to talk to her over in the UK. Welcome to the show, Tracy.
Thanks for having me, Natalie. I really appreciate it.
I'm thrilled to dive into this topic. We've touched on it before on the show. We're going to go deeper today. For those of you that don't know Tracy, Tracy Slepcevic is a certified integrative health practitioner, a speaker, Air Force veteran, and the best-selling author of Warrior Mom, A Mother's Journey in Healing Her Son with Autism. She is educated in the field of complementary and alternative medicine and has dedicated over 14 years to researching various treatments and therapies for individuals with autism spectrum disorder. You can find out more at warriormom.com and autismhealth.com. Tracy, I'd love to start things off by hearing a little bit more, you know, straight from the mother's mouth of your journey that led you to this place of helping thousands of parents all around the world. How did it start for you?
So it's been a long but beautiful journey. After my son received his MMR at about 15 months, he immediately had a reaction. He broke out in a full body rash. He had a fever for about a week. And they say that he probably either had measles or mumps from the vaccine. But once he started to get better and the rash started to go away, there was a slow decline in his motor skills. He lost all his speech, a lot of physicality, cognitive function. And I just didn't know what was going on because I had this normal little kid that we called our monkey because he was like climbing everything to a kid who couldn't climb anything, who couldn't even jump off of 2 feet and then he was just screaming at us because he couldn't communicate. And a mother always knows that something's wrong with their child. And at that time, I had pediatrician visit after pediatrician visit. I had asked her, what's going on with my son? Why is he regressing? Why is he losing all this? And all I ever got from that woman was, this is normal. This is normal. Oh, it's totally normal to have a severe reaction to vaccines. It's normal. Now, I would have never expected like a vaccine injury because I was previous military and you're very programmed that, you know, vaccines save lives and everything else. And I definitely had my fair share. So thus began my journey with trying to find out what was wrong with Noah. And that took about a little over 2 years of banging my head up against a wall. One evaluation from Harbor Regional Center that lost our paperwork because it was supposed to be forwarded on to a clinical psychologist, to preschools that were like, I'm sorry, your kid has special needs. We can't care for him. And from there, I just didn't know what to do. But the beautiful part of it all is when I was at my worst moments, God would always send me an angel to kind of just direct my path. So this woman came to work for us, I think just for like a couple of weeks. She was working the front desk and she had a child with autism. And she's like, oh, well, now it's three now. So you can go through the school district and have me evaluated. And I'm like, oh, okay. So there were so many things along the way. And then when I finally did that and I found out that Noah did have autism, adjacent to our office was my naturopathic doctor. So I had to go back to the office for something. And Dr. Burka was walking down the hallway and saw me crying. And he's like, what's wrong? And I said, well, Noah has autism. And he backs up and he looks at me and he's like, Noah's going to be fine. He said, you just need to go home and you need to do your research. But kids are making great strides with biomedical intervention. Now, I didn't know what biomedical intervention was at the time. I was studying nutrition. So it's really addressing the underlying biological conditions to get a child to a functioning state. So I went home, sucked the tears up into my eyes, and I was an absolute nerd. Back then, you could Google healing autism, and you could get so many different resources. But today, it's a lot different. So,
how old is he now?
He turned 19 yesterday.
Oh my goodness! So this has been a long journey for you.
It has been. He's an amazing kid. He's very loving. Now he's a little programmed from when he was in high school during COVID. But he drives, he takes care of himself. He actually went off to a gaming convention that was 3 hours away all by himself, checked into a hotel all by himself, and was there for 3 days and did his own thing and then came back, and he's in one piece. So, I mean, that was my goal for him, was to be able to function on his own. Mm-hmm. I mean, there isn't anything Noah can't do. I do find that he, you know, is very susceptible to, you know, brainwashing and manipulation, and
it's hard to know. Is that the school system? Is that autism? Is that something that autism is more likely? They're more susceptible to that?
I think so. I think the goal of vaccinating children so much, right, is to neurologically challenge the younger population so they can brainwash them. I mean, that's my conspiracy theory. Mm.
my take on it is there's a lot of things in the environment that are put directly in and on our body, and also indirectly to numb and dumb down the potential of humanity. So that is definitely a possibility. I'd love to share a little bit more of your journey, and specifically some of the things that you wish you'd known about sooner. Like, it's interesting, isn't it? So he was 15 months old. So that's just over one. So for those of listening that don't know a lot about kids or babies, I usually say walk at one, talk at two, generally, right? So this would have been a kid that was like toddling around, you know, at 15 months, and then suddenly couldn't jump off things and suddenly couldn't do things. So what were the steps that you took, or what were some of the, I don't know if remedies is the right word, practices or remedies that, or maybe it's biomechanical interventions that you did to help Noah on his journey to become as able as he is today?
So what we call biomedical intervention is, you know, you find out what those underlying conditions are first. So that required me getting a really good functional medicine doctor. Now, back then, they called them DAN doctors. They followed a Defeat Autism Now protocol. Mm-hmm. It doesn't exist anymore. There is MAPS, which is Medical Academy of Pediatric Special Needs. But just finding a good functional medicine doctor that treats children on the spectrum. So that's number one, because, you know, to really find out anything about any of us, what's going on underneath, you have to have a good amount of blood work, urine samples, even fecal samples to find out what the, you know, what's going on in the gut, in the microbiome. Because even I saw an article that came out the other day from Children's Health Defense that there's a doctor that wrote a scientific study on how they can diagnose autism with, you know, checking the microbiome in the gut by doing a stool sample.
Right.
So it's crazy advanced now. And they said it's better detected than an actual evaluation. And then the evaluation, you have to go through so many different steps. We had to, his preschool teacher had to fill out her, you know, her view of Noah. Me, I had two views. I had the kid I remembered who was walking early, crawling early. He met all his milestones like very early. He was so motivated to just travel. And then I had the other side of me that's like, well, he's not doing anything now. So part of me, when I filled out the questionnaire, I'm like, oh, well, he could do that. You know, because I was remembering what he could do and it was that he couldn't do. But along the journey, and it's been a beautiful one. I always say, as the teacher, I became the student. My son is literally my number one teacher. He truly, my stepdaughter's given me patience, and my son has taught me that possibilities are endless. I never would have thought that I could write a book. Mm. It just, in my world and how I grew up, you never see yourself as a successful author or anything else. And I didn't write the book to be successful. I wrote it because I didn't want parents to go through 2.5 years of trying to figure out what was wrong with their child. And then as time passes, we were talking about this last night, you know, the older they get, there's that window. Now I say when the window starts to close a little bit, it doesn't mean give up on your child. Never, ever give up on your child. It's just early intervention is key. Some people don't believe that. I truly believe that. The younger they are, their brains are still developing. They're like little sponges. They operate subconsciously 100%. So everything that they absorb goes into their subconscious mind. So that's their programming. So really just nourishing their brain with first food, good food. So I always say, find a functional medicine doctor, one that works, one that you resonate with. If it gives you bad feelings, then it's probably not a good fit. And then they have to do those battery of tests, and it's ongoing. So the urine test is typically to test for heavy metals, to see if there's heavy metal toxicity. So Noah was pretty toxic. And so was I. Being in the military, I definitely had my fair share of vaccinations and all kinds of stuff being exposed to. And then, you know, seeing where the gut's at. Now, Noah was an ear infection baby, so he's on antibiotic after antibiotic. And to a point where he was just antibiotic resistant. He was allergic to penicillin, so he couldn't take that one. And it was from... once we got all those results back, it was like, all right, here we go. No gluten, no dairy, no soy, no yeast, no sugar.
Wow.
Real food. So people used to laugh at me. Well, what do you eat? And I like real food. If you can pick it, pluck it, grow it, skin it, you can eat it.
Yeah.
We did keep to like low glycemic fruits versus, you know, the higher sugar fruits. But
what's an example of a low glycemic fruit?
Like berries.
Right.
Yeah, berries are lower in sugar versus bananas are super high in sugar. So really it was, I still feel, because fruit is our source of antioxidants. And I, you know, when you crave sugar, it's your body actually craving it. You need antioxidants. Mm-hmm. That you need fruit, and it metabolizes differently than refined or processed sugar. So that's important.
I think what you just said is quite an aha moment for some of my listeners. When you crave sugar, it's actually your body craving antioxidant. Yes?
Yeah.
Good to know.
I learned that in my nutrition classes. But I mean, we need, if you go way back, people ate fruits and vegetables. Now, the poor typically ate grains and they were sickly. So they didn't have access to fruits and vegetables. They had access to grains, which were very cheap, still to this day are cheap. So, you know, diets like Whole30 or Paleo exclude grains because they also have an inflammatory effect. So I always say, well, if you're going to implement grains, you can do gluten-free oats. So it would have to be gluten-free because they're highly processed with wheat, like brown rice. Quinoa and maybe mullet, but I would stick to the three, the oats, brown rice, and quinoa, if you're going to do grains. So there's so many things. Like, I've been gluten-free since before gluten-free was cool. So it's my friends, but it's a learning progress. So I wanted to put everything into a book.
And yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Do you actually have recipes in the book?
I don't have recipes in the book. So when people contact me and I give them my contact, they can reach out to me at tracy@warriormom.org. And I will send them a bunch of recipes, or I say, go pick up a paleo or Whole 30 cookbook. Those are great. If you want something sweet, I have ways of making healthy desserts. So you can fulfill, you know, that sweet palate, you know, like making pudding out of avocados and cacao and like coconut milk. And there's just so many different ways to be creative. I think during COVID, I was getting really creative because I had so many things during COVID.
Tell me a bit more about the book. What are some of the titles in the chapters and some of the key learnings? I don't know if you feature some other moms and dads and their own experiences, but yeah, give us a little bit more about what's inside.
So it's in three parts. So the first part is my story. And the reason I wrote my story is it was the story of hope and inspiration. During this time, my husband, who fights big insurance, was battling big insurance. And so they wrote a bogus article about him and it wound up on the front page of the LA Times. Right. So his business of 20 years went under. It's not like today. Today, an article comes out, you know, you're doing something right.
Yeah.
Back then in 2009, and it came out on the front page of the LA Times on 4th of July weekend. I think it was right there with Michael Jackson's passing. It was brutal. So there was like the beginning of losing a lot of things. So our house went into foreclosure. Mm-hmm. I was preparing for treatments. So I bartered for his hyperbaric oxygen therapy. I did their marketing for him. I made payments for his functional medicine. Nobody could say no. I feel the number one thing a parent needs to do is to set a clear intention of what it is you choose to create for your child. Because we're all just spiritual beings having a temporary human experience. So what is it that you choose to create or learn or experience while you're here? And when Dr. Burka told me that my son would live a normal functioning life, nobody could tell me anything different. So the neurologist is like, he'll need care for the rest of his life. The doctor's like, you'll need this. And I'm like, I don't think I need either one of you. So once I found functional medicine and I learned a lot more about it, so I switched from, I was a psychology/nutrition major. I definitely dropped out of psychology and moved more over to alternative medicine. But I first had to be self-taught. Like many of us parents, you have to get a PhD in how to heal your kid overnight because, you know, time goes. And I feel if you want your children to regain speech, the younger you treat them, especially with diet, is the most important to really get it going. And even as I just started gluten-free, dairy-free before I went to the doctor and she told me I had to get rid of all other things, he was starting to spit out a word and then two words together. And I was like, wow, what is this? So it's been like an amazing journey. And just watch him. Like, my son's not really afraid of anything. And I love that. So I was talking to Simone and Jeff last night about a story that it was like that point in my life where the teacher became the student. And it was Noah was in second grade. And he came home and he's like, Mom, I signed up for the talent show. And I'm like, oh no, what if they laugh at him? What if they boo him? What if they do this? Like, so all the what ifs went through my head. And he looked at me and he's like, I'm doing this with or without you.
Nice.
And I'm like, oh. So at one time I was a dance teacher. So I was like, okay, now I get to just get to work. I can do this. We can do this. We got this. And so he loved Michael Jackson. So in elementary school, Noah was known as the kid who loved Michael Jackson. He read all his biographies as a child. I mean, he was just like, he knew every song. He would walk down the street and just dance. It was beautiful. So that night when he performed, he got up there dressed in his Thriller gear. He had the wig on. He had the red jacket.
The red jacket, the glove.
Sparkly gloves. It was so cool. His friend Courtney, who was also special needs, she dressed up like a zombie and was dancing around in the background. So he performed like literally like nobody was watching. And when he was done, he took a bow and he stood up in the whole auditorium. And I'm talking parents, teachers, students, everybody stood up and gave him a standing ovation. And I'm like, wow. That was the moment where I was like, I cannot hold this kid back from my fears, not his fears, but my own fears.
So I would love to hear from some of our listeners. I know some of you out there also can relate to that story when you, that turning point, that pivotal moment when you realize that your child has become the teacher. We would love to hear from you. If you've got a story to share, you can send us a text 2057 or email inbox@realitycheck.radio. Tracy, what about, what else is in the book? So we've got some amazing stories about your own personal experience, some information about food. What about other, what are the other chapters?
So I also in part one, I hear a lot from parents I can't afford. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't afford anything. Like I said, I bartered, I sold everything I owned. I short sailed my house. I did whatever I had to do to make sure my kid received whatever treatment he needed. And nobody could say no to me. It was just, I was very clear.
And you, you had that vision, right?
Yeah, I saw it. So there's a lot to be said about visualizing what it is you want to see in the future. I mean, a lot to be said. And I saw Noah functioning. But in part two, it's a lot of resources, questions. If you have questions or you even think that your child might have autism, then I answer all those questions. What are the different signs and symptoms you might be looking for? What are some good organizations that you can do research on, like Children's Health Defense? What organizations to stay away from, like Autism Speaks, because they don't do anything? You know, all these different resources. A lot of it are state resources, which would be in the United States. I wouldn't know how it works outside of the states. And then part three is all about a biomedical approach to healing. And I wrote all, there's so much out there now, but I wrote about the protocol that we used for Noah. I added a few more things that were newer, like spell to communicate is huge for those who are non-speaking. And it is, if you haven't seen Spellers, the movie, go to YouTube because it's on there for free. You can watch Spellers, the movie. It's a documentary and it is amazing. So these kids who have been trapped in their own minds who can speak, so we don't call them non-verbal. We call them non-speaking. Mm-hmm. They could speak, but they can't connect it from their brain to their voice for them to actually get the words out. So it's a type of therapy where they teach them to point because a lot of them have like flailing movements. They can't control their body. It's a lot of physical therapy at first kind of, and then teaching them to use a letter board and then going from there to an electronic device. But there's so much out there. And then in the end, I really talk about how to remove environmental toxins from your home. Mm-hmm. So here's my take on the whole thing. You can have a pre-genetic disposition to anything. It could be autism, cancer, whatever. But there's going to be some sort of environmental factor that'll trigger it, or many. So could it be the vaccines? Yeah. Could it be the chemtrails? Yeah. Could it be the stuff they're putting in your food, especially in the United States? There's so many, we're swimming in a toxic pool. So I talk a little bit about a lot of those environmental factors that you could get rid of in your home, in your environment. If it has a scent, if it's perfumes, candles, whatever, as much as we love them, they are volatile organic compounds. If you're painting your house, use non-VO or zero VOC paint. I mean, there's zero VOC, a lot of things, cleaners, stuff like that. I give them resources. And then in the end, I just kind of lay it out black and white. There's three kinds of parents. There's the ones that are going to go the distance. They're going to travel far and wide. They're going to break all the rules and they're not going to care. They're going to do whatever it takes to heal their child. And not any person or anything is going to stand in their way. And then two, you have the middle of the road. Okay, you know, I'll take the doctor's advice. I'll do whatever I'm told to do and take them to their therapies, do everything that state recommended, whatever. I'll be compliant. Mm-hmm. Right. And then there's three. There's the Eeyores of the world. Feel sorry for me. I want to play the victim because my kid has autism. And those are the ones that they're not for me to coach.
Yeah.
Because you literally have to sacrifice everything to move forward. I mean, here I was.
You help the ones that are like all in.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, we were poor as poor can be. It didn't matter. Mm-hmm. I was like, I had hope. When he told me those words in the hallway, I always call Dr. Burka my angel. And he laughs. He's like, I just gave you a direction. I said, but you didn't. And I don't believe in life there are any accidents.
Yeah.
So I wanted to give parents hope. I wanted them to see that, no, you don't need all kinds of money. You just need to set a clear intention. I wanted them to know what their game of plan, if they had some questions or resources to go to, and then I plan of action. You can do biomedical intervention starting with something so simple as diet. And the best part about it is as I was healing my son, I was healing myself because I wouldn't have him do anything that I didn't do. And I was suffering from chronic fibromyalgia and joint pain.
Wow.
With my migraines. I had 9 surgeries from polycystic ovarian syndrome, endometriosis. I mean, you name it, fibroid tumors, all kinds of stuff. And I was a mess myself. And if it wasn't for me doing the protocol with Noah, I don't think I would have realized what was going on in my own body. Mm. And genetically, a lot of those underlying conditions like MTHFR, mitochondrial disorder, those are things. But there's ways to treat them. So it's been a beautiful journey for both me and my son. Now he's thrown the diet out the window, but just learning.
I was going to ask you, how's he going as a 19-year-old sticking to the diet plan?
He's not. But I always say there is a chapter, my last chapter, like let go and let God. Mm-hmm. At some point, you have to let go. You have to trust that God has, you still have to guide them. And he's a good kid. He's very loving. I ask for my hugs or whatever. I still get them. But, he's very private. He's a teenager. He likes hanging out with his friends. But he's doing everything that I've ever wanted him to do.
What a fascinating journey, especially that piece about your health. And you're right. So as a mother, often it's like, oh, we'll take care of everyone else. We'll leave ourselves to last. But because you were on board because of him and your commitment to the vision that the angel doctor had helped you to create, you actually healed all of these things in your own health. What an amazing journey.
I did. So I tell people, I'm like, you could buy the book for your own self.
Yeah.
I'm like, we're spectrum, I guess.
Where can they purchase the book if they are keen to get it? And is it ebook or is it print or both?
All and Audible. So Audible is Amazon exclusive. The book itself, the soft cover book, you can buy anywhere online worldwide. The hardcover, you can go to warriormom.com and you get a signed hardcover. And Ebook is also mostly online wherever books are sold, or maybe mostly Barnes and Noble and Amazon. But I do know the Audible, which was narrated by myself and Dr. Andrew Wakefield, is just exclusively Amazon.
Okay, so I'm going to spell it for the Kiwis out there because it's Warrior Mum. So it's not Warrior, obviously, it's Warrior. You should see the t-shirt she's wearing. It says warriormom.com. So it's WARRIORMOM, because in New Zealand, we go MUM, you see.
M-U-M.
So warriormom.com. And you can get the book, I think, on your website. Will they find it that way? Or look up war.
You can find it on my website. Yeah. And even on my website, if they wanted to order it and get it quicker through whatever their local online bookstore is,
yeah,
they can do it. There's a bunch of different links that they can go through.
Oh, so good. So good. It's interesting, isn't it? I love how you were, you know, before we recorded, you said, you know, can I talk about vaccines? And I said, of course you can. That's part of the reason that this whole entire radio station came to be, because there were certain topics we weren't allowed to talk about or you never heard about in the media. So it's quite freeing, isn't it? To just be able to actually, for me to ask whatever I want, for you to be able to say whatever you want, the true story, your own journey that you've lived. So after that point, when you realize with the MMR, you know, like you said, everyone, there is some predisposition, certain things in the environment may trigger a reaction, not with everybody, but with some. From that day on, did you look at vaccines differently? Did you decide you're not having any more? Like, how did that impact your journey or your view of, I guess, traditional healthcare?
So my functional medicine doctor, and I won't say her name because California doctors are being scrutinized for going against vaccinations. She literally just openly said, no, is vaccine injured. You're describing everything that is, you know, a vaccine injury. So here was the thing. Several times I had asked my pediatrician, could my son possibly have autism? Not an easy question to ask. And she said, no, he just needs speech therapy. That was it. That was her answer every time. He's fine. Regression, he's fine. That's normal. Everything's normal. Everything's fine. But then when she found out that he was diagnosed with autism, she went back into his medical records and wrote on two different occasions that she recommended that he be evaluated for autism.
Wow.
So then she got her butt chewed on the phone for an hour. And
she's lucky that's all she got.
She is very lucky, but there are so many people I could have been so crazy. I had a preschool lose my kid and not call me. And I mean, lose him. He eloped to a park. I was in a battle with his middle school that the aides were threatening him because he's like, he was really high functioning at that point. So it was embarrassing to have an adult follow him around. He's mm-hmm. like, can you just, he was being very respectful, but they were being very verbally abusive towards him to a point as to where one of them wrote it in the parent log that went home. And she's like, if Noah continues to defy me, I'm going to have to discipline him to the fullest extent.
Ooh.
So I went into the principal's office uninvited, slammed that book down on his desk. And I said, so tell me how your glorified effing babysitter is going to discipline my child.
To the fullest extent.
He turned green. He's like, oh no. So at that moment, because I had such an amazing functional medicine doctor and Noah was literally ill from anxiety, he mm-hmm. had diarrhea, he was throwing up. I'd pick him up, he'd be shaking. It's something that boils your blood as a parent. So my functional medicine doctor wrote this fabulous letter that said Noah can return to school when it is a safe and healthy environment for him to return to. So they had to put all his schoolwork together. They had to, you know, I'd go and pick it up and I'd turn it back in and they're losing money. And they're like, well, how do we get Noah back? And I'm like, you get your act together. Mm-hmm. So when I sent him back and he had a different paraeducator, that paraeducator wasn't any better. So we ended up moving from Redondo Beach to San Diego. And it was just a much better situation. They removed the paraeducator. He was in a collaborative class. They were wonderful to him. And he did really well. I mean, he had the middle school struggles, but
what I'm hearing from you is this whole experience really brought out probably who you already were, but maybe this can act as a little spark of hope and inspiration for a lot of other parents out there who have just been maybe more compliant and more passive to some other people in their life, you know, be that doctors or teachers. And you can, if it doesn't sit right with you, you know, you can become, you can step into that mama lion kind of persona. We all have it in us. And that's something that you've done. You were like, this is not okay. You can't treat my child like that. And then sometimes we do change schools, or sometimes we hold them back until the environment is safe and welcoming and nurturing for them. So good on you. That sounds like you really upped your brave.
I did. And then there, you know, still, I feel like in high school during COVID, when no sick at home, that there was a lot of programming going on. So we definitely have different views on when it comes to like politics or certain things, and Noah doesn't like to talk politics or vaccines or anything. And I respect that. I'm like, I completely understand. So there are certain things that I didn't realize that my son was watching CNN news every day in school for current events.
Oh, in school. Yeah.
So in the States, you can call an IEP meeting, which is your individual education plan, and you can call it any time of the year. And so I went through, I said, well, one, he's not to watch CNN. And they're like, well, he has to do current events. I said, well, find something else. And two, he's not to learn critical race theory. I don't want him learning that either. And three, if a vaccine bus or a clinic yes. opens up, he will not be anywhere near it. So Noah had a medical exemption, which I had pre-COVID since 2015. So I was lucky. I was one of the lucky ones. And so I didn't have to fight the mandatory vaccine issue in schools in California, but so many other parents have to.
What that makes me wonder is when those buses roll up, like, does the school get paid a bonus, you know, per child that gets?
I think everybody, doctors get kickbacks.
Yeah.
So, you know, well, in the States, I know that, so pediatricians are the most underpaid doctors out there in the United States. So they get kickbacks from big pharma. So for every child that gets their full set of vaccinations, so for every group of children, they get kickbacks anywhere from $30,000 to $60,000 a year, but they got to get the full schedule.
Right. Or else they don't get the whole kickback. And also they have to get, I think there's something about, they're all aiming for 100%. Even here in New Zealand, I had a friend who basically got kicked out by her doctor because they wouldn't get the jabs. And they were like, you're no longer a patient here, because they have to get a certain percentage of their patients to get the full schedule, or else they don't get the double bonus or whatever.
You know what I tell parents? You don't need a pediatrician. You don't.
Yeah.
You know, pediatricians are designed to vaccinate. I mean, you could weigh your own child and go according to the chart and see if they're growing and meeting, you know, their milestones. But you don't need to take them to a pediatrician, because in the States, parents are scared to take them to a pediatrician that they might have their child taken away from them if they don't vaccinate them. Right. I said, well, worse, you might have your child taken away from you if they die from a vaccination, which is very possible. And now it's, so in the last talk that I listened to from Dr. Peter McCullough, he said we're looking at 108 childhood vaccines.
From the age of what to what?
So from the age of newborn to 17.
That is insane.
Because it includes COVID vaccinations now.
Do you think more people are starting to see, or to question? I was going to say to see that that's crazy, but that's my view. Do you think more people are starting to question the validity, the necessity of that?
I think people are starting to wake up, but then there are people who are still sleeping. I just don't understand it. You see people dropping on fields, kids, healthy kids, just gone. My son at first, because his friends were vaccinated, wanted to get the COVID vaccine. He's like, why won't? I said, because for you, honey, It's deadly. And this isn't a discussion. I said, it's my job to keep you safe. And that is exactly what I will do. And then so months down the road where he was starting to see these things on the news, he was like, I think I get it. So he was starting to see all the deaths that were occurring. And the CDC recently, I'm surprised they did this study, recently did a study on the mortality rate of children, which would be up to the age of 17, from late 2021 and also in 2022. So it was like a year and a half's worth, right? And that was when the vaccine came out. And it increased 35%. And that was the CDC study. And they're usually the ones to cover up all this stuff.
Yeah. It does make people ask questions. Before we wrap it up, I want to come back to your conference because congratulations. That is a massive undertaking to organize a conference. What makes your conference that you ran, I think it was in February of 2024. I don't know how often you run it. What makes it different than other autism conferences you've seen?
So I always wanted to do an autism conference. So back in the day, before they shut my husband down in his business, we used to do a disaster management conference. And I loved doing conferences. And then I worked for Hyatt Hotels and I ran all their conferences. So I was the floor manager. And I just loved it. There was something about it, the go, 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 being busy. I enjoyed it. So when I saw Autism One didn't want to do in-person conferences anymore, they want to do virtual. And I had a talk with Terry, and I just think she's tired. She lost her husband. Autism One was a huge thing, but it was so successful for so many years. So I'm like, I could help you revamp it. I could do this. And she's like, no. And so I'm like, okay, well, then I'll start my own. But I didn't want to do it without her support because I had a lot of respect for Autism One. Now, the other conference out there, which is TACA, used to be Talk About Curing Autism, now is the Autism Community in Action, because, you know, they had to follow the narrative.
The acronym. Oh, okay, right.
So me, as an outspoken mom, got fired from being a TACA mentor. I'm like, how do you get fired from a volunteer position? This was really interesting to
By
me.
Asking the wrong questions, that's how.
And TACA used to be very informative. And in my book, I initially had a chapter on TACA and the benefits of TACA. And then I started to re-immerse myself into the TACA environment, volunteering again, and so on and so forth. And I'm like, this is different. So they're very money-driven. They're all about making money off their conference, no matter how it looks. And so I got this formal letter that thank you for being a mentor for 13 years, but we no longer need your services. And I got an email and a letter and I'm like, wow. So I immediately called my publisher and I said, listen, I have this chapter that I need to take out of my book because as what once was, which was once a good organization, is no longer, because I had spoke with other women who had worked for TACA and were fired based on their views. And so now they're pretty much teaching anything and everything based on if somebody will give them a speaker fee to speak, they will allow them to speak, even if they go against the diet, against the protocol, which I find is very wrong.
It sounds like they've gone a bit off path, but the beautiful thing in that is, which is what I imagine you were thinking as well, is the universe or God was directing you into a new direction.
Yeah. So I was super excited to host my first event. It was in San Antonio at the JW Marriott. It was pretty big. It was about close to 500 people. Mm-hmm. So somebody came up to me, this family came up to me and they're like, wow, I felt like I came in, I got a little bit of worship because I had a pastor speak at in the opening. I got a lot of information and education and then some entertainment on top of it. Because nice. We were so blessed to have Jeff and Simone Sewell and Sienna and Olivia come and tell their story and sing, because to me, that was my highlight. I'm like, the Sewell family's coming. And I was just, it was such a blessing.
Coming over from the UK, right? That's where you are now?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Well, we are going to have them as future guests on RCR, talking about the power of healing through music, which and sharing a bit more of their journey. So that will be amazing follow up. Yeah. So did you have people from all around the world come to your conference?
So I had a woman who had come from Romania. I think I had one couple that came from Australia and then them from London.
And I'm pretty sure, I think that's the conference Emily Hall went to that I did a previous interview. So if you like this interview, you're also going to like the one I recorded a few months back with Emily Hall, where we talk about supporting kids with autism. And today we've been talking about supporting parents and especially becoming a warrior mom or a warrior dad in your own way. I'd love to ask you, Tracy, what else is coming up for you in the coming months, and how can people connect with you? You've already mentioned your website, but where can we follow you on socials as well?
So my Instagram, Warrior Mom, and my personal one were hacked like the end of last year. So I started a new personal one, but I occasionally go on it. So mainly Facebook.
Okay.
I have, it's my name, Tracy Slepcevic, and I'm the only one, I think, in the world. Instagram is Autism Author Mama, and Twitter is, I think if you just type in my name, it'll pull it up, right?
So I'm going to spell it for you, everybody. It's Tracy, T-R-A-C-Y, Slepcevic, S-L-E-P-C-E-V-I-C. And as always, I will endeavor to put all of Tracy's contact details and the link to buy her book as well on the replay page. But if you just can't remember what it is, you can send a text 2057 or email inbox@realitycheck.radio and just say Tracy's details, please. And we'll send them to you to make it easy. Before we wrap things up, Tracy, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Absolutely. So we're in the process of starting a nonprofit called Autism Health, and that is to raise money for scholarships. So my husband and I personally paid for a lot of scholarships for parents who could not afford to attend the conference. There'll only be so many scholarships available. So there are applications. If it's virtual, you can submit one for a virtual. If it's an in-person, you can submit it for in-person. But we are just waiting to hear back from the IRS and the 501c3 approval. And then we're going to start fundraising. And so all parents can be educated. I can honestly tell you, I don't know how to say no. And virtually, it's, you know, you can see it from anywhere. So if they sign up on autismhealth.com, they can also see last year's or this just a few months ago conference. They can purchase that conference by going online. And any questions anybody ever has, they can reach out to Tracy at warriormom.org. So I have both org and .com. So I'm transferring over. But my final words, I always tell parents is don't just settle. I admit so many parents, so I speak for so many parents. This isn't just my story. It's the story of thousands of others that set a clear intention. What is it that you choose to create for your child? And then believe in it right down to a cellular level. And believe in your soul that this is possible, because, you know, you could take impossible and just break it up and I'm possible and anything can be possible. So I believed that. And because of that, I truly believe with that set of mind, because the mind's a powerful thing, that Noah lives a fully functional life today. And it's been an absolute blessing. And, you know, there's that song, God Bless the Broken Road, right? But it's so true. I've been humbled in so many times in my life, but my son has been my greatest teacher. I wouldn't trade any of this for anything. The parents that I've been able to mentor, the people's lives that have changed. And I had no idea I was capable of this. None. I had no idea I was capable of doing what I did for Noah. I came from the suburbs of Detroit, and you were taught you punch a clock and when you go out and then you go to the bar after. That's why I left at such a young age. I just knew that I somehow was meant for something bigger, but everybody is. Mm. It's not just me. I don't take credit for any of this. I'm so grateful to all the doctors who risked their licenses, their lives. Dr. Andrew Wakefield, I love him so dearly. Dr. Paul Thomas, who's recently going through all this, but so many scientists and doctors who truly... Dr. Judy Mikovits, who really risked her life, keep them in your prayers because they're standing up for our children and the safety of our children. And you have to fight back. Be a voice. It could be that waitress that comes up to your table who's pregnant. And I did this recently and I'm like, is this your first? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, are you open to some loving feedback? And she's like, sure. I'm like, please don't back. I'm like, not a doctor, but I'm a mom. And please, I beg you. And you might save one life doing that. And you're like, oh my gosh, what if they do? Who cares? Then you just thank you, walk away. But if you could change one life, change that life. Because not just one person can do it. It's got to spread like wildfire. It's everybody. We've got podcasters doing their jobs. We've got parents doing their jobs. We've even grandparents are like huge, but in the end, God has a plan for everybody and it's perfect.
Amazing. And I love that what your son taught you. And I wrote it down. Possibilities are endless. Thank you so much for providing some hope and inspiration to parents out there who have a child with autism today. We were talking about healing autism. So not just living with a child with autism, but actually healing it. We're going there. So thank you for your wisdom, your insight, and sharing your story with us, Tracy.
Thanks so much. I appreciate your time.
And thank you everyone for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. Do you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to? Either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us today.